Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Psalm 103. Psalm 103, we'll read together the entire chapter. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those that remember His commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye His angels, that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye His hosts, ye ministers of His that do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works, in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. This is the holy and inspired Word of God. May He bless the reading of it to our hearts. The text for the sermon is verses 1 and 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, speech is fundamental to God's covenant. First of all, God speaks to us. He does that in many different ways in the worship service and all through the course of our lives through His Word. Second, we speak to God. We do that in many different ways in the worship service and through the course of our whole lives as we sing to God and pray to God and confess His name. Third, we speak to one another. We do that also in the worship service as we exhort and admonish one another in singing, and all through the course of our lives as friends together in God's covenant, we speak to each other. But fourth, we also speak to ourselves. Each individual believer talks to himself. You've done that, have you not? You've talked to yourself. Biblically speaking, it's not so strange that a man would speak to himself. Probably the outstanding New Testament example would be that man in Jesus' parable in Luke chapter 12. The ground of a certain rich man, verse 16, brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, "What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits?" And he said, "This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." Probably the outstanding Old Testament example of a man speaking to himself is David in Psalm 103, right here in the text we consider this morning, verses 1 and 2. "Bless the Lord, O my soul." And with these two examples, we have antithetical parallelism. They're parallel. Each man is addressing his own soul. He's talking to himself. But they're antithetical because while the rich man of Luke chapter 12 is saying to his own soul, "Soul, thou hast done so well. Blessed be me." We have David here in Psalm 103 saying, "Soul, bless the Lord for all the good that He has done to you." And these are the words we want to consider this Thanksgiving morning, so that as David was moved by the Holy Spirit, may the Holy Spirit move each one of us here, young and old alike, this morning to talk to ourselves on Thanksgiving Day. You do it. I will do it. Say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." So let's consider this word of God this morning, exhorting myself to bless Jehovah. We'll look at the meaning of this, the importance of this, and the activity of this. As we consider the meaning of this text, we need to look at three different things. First, the object that we bless. Second, the blessing of that object. And third, the source out of which arises the blessing of the object. The object is God. And the text tells us three things about our God. First, He is Jehovah, the Lord. In all capital letters, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Again in verse 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Jehovah God, the one and only God, the God of the covenant, who from everlasting determined to take a sinful people, reconcile them to Himself through the blood of a Savior, draw them into His covenant, and saying now to them and to their children, "I love you, I bless you, I protect you, I save you, and I'll lead you infallibly to glory so that you can live with me in the bonds of love in my covenant forever and ever." Who is like the Lord, Jehovah God? Secondly, about our God, the text teaches us that His name is holy. Verse 1, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." To be holy is to be set apart from everything else. So that in the Old Testament, there were a number of pieces of furniture in the tabernacle, and one of them was a table of showbread. And if you take all the other tables on the face of the earth, this particular table was holy, because it was set apart from all other tables for special use in the worship of God's house. And now you draw the biggest circle you can draw, and you put in that circle every name that's ever been named. Adam, Eve, Cain, Abel, Seth, and go all the way down through history. Get angels, Michael and Gabriel and Lucifer. Get ungodly kings, Og and Sihon and Nebuchadnezzar. And God-fearing believers, Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Every name that's ever been named. Take out the church directory. Start with the A's. Go all the way down to the Z's. My name, your name, every name in the circle of every human being. Anything that's ever been named. And now you take the name Jehovah and you separate it out and you lift it up for the special use of worship. That's the idea. His name, we know Him by His name, we call Him by His name. His name is holy. Now there are many passages in the Bible that tell us He is Jehovah, that His name is holy. The third thing that the text tells us about our God is the main thing, and that He is the great benefactor, the God of so many benefits. So that we read in verse 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." Isn't He an amazing God? A God of so many benefits, this overflowing fountain of all good. And David starts stringing them out one by one, beginning with verse 3. "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities?" And that's number one. He knows it. You know it. I know it. It doesn't matter if you're a king and you live in a palace and you sit before a marvelous spread of food and drink on a royal table with friends and family. If God's hand is heavy on you and you have a guilty conscience because you're not right with God, none of these other things matter, not even if you are the king. You are miserable. And for over 9 months, David was miserable. Blessing number one. Forgiveness of all my iniquities through the blood of Jesus. Who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Go back to the book of Genesis. Start there. End with Revelation. And move through the Bible, the whole of it, looking at all the different benefits that God has given to us in Jesus Christ. So many benefits. And they're all concentrated in the Lord Jesus Christ, in a person. And that's really emphasized here as we go into the next verses, because after saying all His benefits, verse 2, then verse 3 doesn't say forgiveness and healing and redemption, but verse 3 begins, "Who?" Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? And who healeth all thy diseases? The emphasis is on the person, our God, in Jesus Christ. All of the benefits are in Him. And if you belong to Jesus Christ, everything is a benefit. The word benefit in the text, it literally means His doings, His deeds, His dealings, His activities. Do not forget all His doings, all His workings, because every single thing He does is a benefit for you if you are in Christ Jesus. If He lays His heavy hand upon you and makes you groan and even cry out in the night, or if He takes His hand and He exalts you above all your brethren, both are benefits. If He puts stale bread and lukewarm water on your table, or the finest meats and the most expensive wines, both are benefits. If He makes your path so straight and so smooth, or if He makes it crooked and you cry out, why? And why now? And why us? And why this? If He sends a man to bless you, if He sends a Shimei to curse you and cast stones at you, every single deed of God is a benefit to those who are in Christ. God doesn't do anything to harm His church. All His doings are for us as benefits. Now, that's not true of all men, of course. Only if we belong to Christ, who came to take all of our guilt, who paid for it, who reconciled us unto God, and who obtained a perfect righteousness for us. So as we are in Christ Jesus, everything God does is a benefit for us. All His benefits. There you have it. He's Jehovah. His name is holy. And He's the God of so many benefits. That's the object that we bless. Now, there is the blessing of that object. So that the psalmist says, bless the Lord, O my soul. And again, bless the Lord, O my soul. What does it mean to bless Him? Well, we can be helped by thinking of the negative, to curse. Because blessing is the opposite of cursing. To curse is to speak against someone or something, desiring and pursuing their destruction. God does that. God curses. You want to think a sobering thought? Right now, on Thanksgiving Day, God is in the home of the wicked and He's cursing them. Proverbs 3, verse 33, the curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked. If you want to try to get an idea of what that's like, you look at Jesus on the cross and see what happened to Him when God brought His curse upon Him for all our iniquity. It's terrifying. The curse of God, He speaks against, He desires, He pursues the destruction of His foes. God curses. And man curses. Man looks at God and says, I hate God, and I desire, and I pursue the destruction of God. And God sits in the heavens and He laughs man to scorn. Curse. Now, the opposite of curse is bless. And to bless is to speak well of, and it's to desire, and it's to pursue one's well-being. That's what God does to us. He blesses us. And now that's what we do, returning back to Him. We bless Him. We speak well of Him. We desire and we pursue with all of our heart His well-being. Now, we can't add to His being. We can't enhance His well-being. He's the infinitely perfect God. But our blessing of God is the verbal expression of our desire that He be praised and adored and magnified and thanked by us. Actually, the word bless in the text literally means to kneel down before. And so the greatest way you can bless the Lord is to kneel down before Him and look up at Him and say, to Thee be all glory now and forever, and I thank Thee, Most High God. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. We have the object, our great God. We have the blessing of that object. And now we have the source, not the ultimate source. We'll come back to that later. But the source out of which this blessing comes. And it is one's own soul. So that David says, bless the Lord, O my soul. And what David means by soul is the whole of one's internal spiritual life, in distinction from the external life he lives in the body. And that's why he goes on to say, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Now, of course, we bless the Lord by our external behavior and conduct in the body. We take our bullocks and our rams, all of our offerings, our gifts to the drives, our gifts for the kingdom causes, and we give them to the Lord. We preach, we read, we pray, we sing, we parent, we work, we are charitable, and we give acts of hospitality. All these things in the body, externally, others can see them. They're all meant for the blessing of the name of the Lord. But David goes deeper, and he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Because what if all of this external activity is hypocrisy? What if it's all dead formalism, dead orthodoxy, a vain show of religion, but one soul is not in it? And that's a perennial threat, always a threat in every age of the covenant. For David living in Old Testament Jerusalem, for Southwest Protestant Reformed Church, and anywhere you go, any church in the world, on any continent, anywhere, at any time, the perennial threat is that it's all outward and hypocritical, but there's nothing inside, in the soul. To go to the temple for worship with a soul that doesn't soar heavenward. To bow your head and fold your hands in prayer without any thoughts, sincere thoughts of God, but a mind that just drifts. To sing the songs of Zion without any affection for the Lord God. To go to work on Monday morning without any joy or gratitude to the Lord God. Without any heart of faith, without any heart of repentance. Even worse than that, to get together tonight with other people and drink and drink and get drunk. Even worse. And Friday night to get a bunch of people together and watch some God-dishonoring movies with foul language and sexual filth, and Saturday to gossip and speak evil of someone, and Sunday morning to put on a dress or a suit and come like a good worshiper and sit in the pew. All hypocrisy. That's always the great threat for David and for every believer in every age of the covenant. David knows it. And that's why David says, "Bless the Lord, oh, my soul, not merely my body externally, while others can see, because God requires more than bullocks and rams and sheep and the outward act of preaching and reading and praying and parenting and training and teaching. God commands the soul within." So David, by the power of the Holy Spirit, says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." And he goes on to say, "And all that is within me," so that every single desire and affection and inclination and motive, everything be directed to the praise of Jehovah God. So that there's no admixture. There's not the slightest little speck or fleck. If you take a swimming pool full of salt granules, all white, as the heart of David, all white, that there not be even one little fleck of pepper, one little teeny tiny black granule in my heart, that everything will be devoted to the Lord God, and there not be the slightest evidence of any unbelief, any pride, any selfishness, any doubt and fear, but that all that is within me may be summoned together by the power of the Holy Spirit unto the blessing of the Lord, whose name is holy and who is the God of all benefits. And so what we have here is David's personal exhortation to himself to bless the Lord with all his soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. This exhortation to bless the Lord is so important. And that's brought out in the text with the Hebrew parallelism. For in verse 1, we have the first clause, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." And then we have the second clause, and all that is within me bless his holy name. And those are parallel. David is saying the same thing in two different ways. And in verse 2, we have more parallelism. David says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is, and forget not all his benefits. Swing that around to the positive. It's, and bless his name. Again, he's saying the same thing in two different ways. But not only is there parallelism in verse 1 and parallelism in verse 2, but verse 1 and verse 2 are themselves parallel. So that really we have four clauses and they're all saying the same thing. Do you know that when you say something two times, when you say something three times, when you say something four times, that is to underscore how important it is. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And I'll say it four times in four different ways because it's so important. Why is it so important? Because everyone is prone to forget God. And that's why David says at the end of verse 2, and forget not all his benefits. So that instead of blessing him, we forget about him. And we do that in three ways. First, we are always tempted to forget God in ingratitude. Ingratitude. Prosperity is very dangerous, you know, and we all know that from experience. And Israel knew that. When the ark has been brought up to the top of Mount Zion and all the tribes have been united, and there they all are with King David on God's holy hill, and all the Canaanites and the Philistines and the Jebusites have been subdued, and all the men are back from battle, they're home with their wives and their children, and all the fields are golden with ripe grain, and all the storehouses are bursting, it's a very dangerous time in the land. The day of prosperity. Because the Israelite is tempted to think, who needs God? Look at what we have. And pretty soon he forgets God. And forgetting God, he doesn't thank God. Prosperity can be very dangerous. When every pulpit has a pastor, when every consistory meeting is short and routine, when the church visitors have no cases to think about, when elders come back from family visitation and they say, yeah, there are some afflictions, of course, among the people of God, but by and large, everyone is happy and healthy. When pure doctrine is being preached, when all the members of the congregation are getting along so well together and everyone's storehouse is bursting with grain, is a very dangerous time. And the danger is that we think we don't really need God. And then we forget him. And forgetting him, we become unthankful. And ingratitude is so wretched. It's so wicked that we wouldn't thank him. We don't want to forget him. His election of us. His redemption of us. His promise to glorify us. And even the bread and water he gives to us. We don't want to forget him in ingratitude. David does not want to. And that's why it's so important that he exhorts himself personally and says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Second, we are tempted to forget God in pride. And we do that by rewriting the text. Bless me, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless thy holy name. Bless me, O my soul, and forget not all the good things I have done, the works of my hand. Pride. Soul, look at all your children and your grandchildren are in the church because you've been a better father and mother than other people. Look at, you're such a good member of the church. You've never had an elder have to come and rebuke you like so-and-so the brother in the church. Look at you, you're not a Philistine, you're an Israelite. You're not a Roman Catholic, you're Reformed, because you made really good choices in your life. Look at you, your hands that have worked so industriously, your barns aren't big enough. You have to tear them down and build bigger barns. You've done so well, soul. So many good works of worship and charity and hospitality. God ought to justify you on account of what you've done, and so much better than anything anyone else has done. Wretched, stinking pride. And everyone is inclined by nature to be proud. We have to struggle with that. David did. We do. It's abominable. We are not Jehovah. Our name is not holy. We are not the great benefactor. God is. And therefore, it's so important that by the power of the Spirit, we keep exhorting ourselves. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless Him. And third, there's unbelief. Forgetting God in unbelief. And in terms of unbelief, there's first of all, in the broadest possible sense, all of the unbelief around us in the world. So when David stands on God's holy hill, he can imagine all these wicked, pagan, Gentile nations all around Israel, and they're full of unbelievers. And God gives His rain and His sunshine and many good gifts to all these unbelievers. And they don't return thanks and praise to God. They curse God. But God must have a light. God has brought His covenant people into His covenant to show forth His praises. Though all these unbelievers will not bless thee. I have to keep saying this to myself in God's covenant. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Now shrink that circle, make it smaller. There's unbelief right within the walls of Zion. Because they're not all Israel, which are of Israel. There's always tares among the wheat. There's always carnal seed among the spiritual seed. There's always hypocrites in the church. We don't know them until they manifest themselves by their confession and walk. But there are always hypocrites in the church. And account of that reality in Israel and in the church today, it's so important that we keep exhorting ourselves and saying, bless the Lord, O my soul. He might not, she might not, but I must. And then you bring that circle all the way home, and there's unbelief in David's own soul and in mine and in yours. David is a believer. That's his identity. But David and you and I will always have a sinful flesh that cleaves to us till the day we die. And it's full of unbelief. And that manifests itself sometimes when we become bitter with God and angry with God. My way is good for you, dear child. No, it's not. My way is always good for you, my dear son, my dear daughter. But we get angry with God. We don't like His way for us. That's a manifestation of unbelief within. And every child of God is prone to unbelief. Knowing it, it's so important that David, by the power of the Spirit, exhorts himself to bless the Lord, saying, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Ingratitude, pride, unbelief in forgetting God. It makes the exhortation so important. Finally, then, this morning, our activity is to bless the Lord. Now, we can look at that activity from three points of view. First of all, and this is the most striking feature of this text, it is a personal exhortation of the psalmist to himself. He is speaking to himself. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Now, of course, we give exhortations to others. The minister exhorts the congregation. Congregation, bless the Lord today. And the elders go on family visitation and they say, family, bless the Lord. And the teacher in the schoolroom says, students, bless the Lord. And the parents in the home. When you go home from church, someone is the head of the home. And as the head of the home, you will say, family, let us bless the name of the Lord. We did that this morning. We even look up at the angels, Psalter number 284, the refrain, the chorus. We just exhorted the angels to bless the Lord. Bless Him, ye His hosts, ye angels. But before you ever exhort anyone anywhere to bless the Lord, you need to talk to yourself and exhort yourself personally, saying, bless the Lord, O my soul. Have you done that this morning? Let's go home and do that. You, all by yourself. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And then bless Him. Secondly, this activity is performed most effectively by singing. The text is a psalm. It was written to be sung, and not only sung individually, but sung corporately by all the Israelites gathered together in worship. When singing, we exhort ourselves to bless the Lord, especially when we are singing those high and lofty words of the Psalms, the beautiful music. That's when, in a powerful way, the Holy Spirit comes and He works in our soul a response to these words as we're singing together. And you cannot but say to yourself when you're singing, oh, yes, bless the Lord, oh, my soul. And then you keep blessing Him. Praise the Lord for music, singing, psalms. And third and finally, this morning, all this activity arises out of our life in Christ. The deepest source of the text is not my soul. It's not your soul. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's one thing to say, bless the Lord, O my soul. And it takes grace to say it. And it's another thing actually to bless the Lord. And it takes amazing grace to say it. And we do. How can we do that? When by nature we are so ungrateful and so proud and so unbelieving, it's a wonder of grace that anyone here will exhort him or herself to bless the Lord and then actually to bless the Lord. How is that possible? Well, we have to go all the way to the blessed Savior, you know, the Son of God who became incarnate of the Virgin Mary as the true David, the King of Israel. Think of Him and think of His soul every moment of His life with all the powers that were within Him. He was blessing the name of Jehovah, and He is the one who is exhorting Himself to bless the Lord. And while He was there alone in the wilderness with the devil, the tempter, being tempted to sin against God, He was talking to Himself. You can be sure of that. Bless the Lord, O my soul. When they spat upon Him and they buffeted Him and they pounded those nails through His palms into the cross, and they affixed Him to that tree, and He was hanging there suspended. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And when all the vials of God's wrath were being poured out upon Him for all our ingratitude, all our pride, all our unbelief, He was being punished for our iniquity in the flames of the cross, even there on the cross. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. And He did with all that is within Him. He blessed the holy name of Jehovah, His God. Now, He's the head. We are the body. We are united to Him. We have His Holy Spirit. And by the power of His Spirit, we can say with David, bless the Lord, O my soul. On this Thanksgiving morning, let's do it. all of us, by the power of God's grace that worketh in us, united to Jesus Christ, let's go home and talk to ourselves and say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. To God be the praise now and forever. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the Holy Spirit who moved that holy man of old, David, to write these words of Psalm 103. Thanks for preserving them in thy providence through the ages of the covenant all the way to 2024, so that on this Thanksgiving morning we can open the Bible and read the 103rd Psalm, preach it, and now, by the power of Thy Spirit, believe it, embrace it, and live it as David did. Oh, grant us a rich measure of the Spirit of the true David, Jesus Christ, and make us thankful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.